I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. As you can tell, I'm not Susie Larson. I'm Chris Fabry. But today, I have the privilege to sit in for her on a Friday conversation and hopefully bring a little encouragement and a little hope your way. Susie has filled in for me as a guest host on my program over the years, so she is returning the favor. I get to sit in her chair today. And I think we have something for you that will not only be biblical, but also timely and straight to the heart. Let me start by thanking those behind the scenes, and I should take the whole hour and thank Kim and Brian and Angela and Ryan and others who helped us get together here today. I want to know, do you look at all that's going on in our country and in the world and feel like there's more going on than you can see, than you can tell, that there's something bigger happening on the chessboard of life than simply the things that you can see? I want you to hear from a friend of mine today who believes that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that we were placed here for such a time as this. You'll hear from him straight ahead on a Friday edition of Susie Larson Live. How are you doing? Don't you love Susie's heart? Every time she had me on her program, I realize why many of you get involved and listen and participate with her and text. And you can do that today. You can text a question or a comment at 877-933-2484 if at any point you want to get involved. So I hope it's not too jarring to hear my voice instead of Susie's. Let's jump right in with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who is president of Keep Believing Ministries, an internet-based community serving Christians in 225 countries. He travels around the world. He's been a pastor in L.A. and Dallas, Chicago. He's written dozens of books, literally, and we're going to send you to the website of the Keep Believing Ministries there today, because there's something that I want you to see and I want you to hear about it. Dr. Ray, how you doing today?
Hey, Chris, good to be on with you. I'm doing great. It's Friday the 13th. So far, so good. Everything's good.
I know Susie loves to start each program that she does with talking about Scripture, and I find it really helpful to answer this question of what has God been putting on your heart lately? What's He been doing? So that I hear other people say, you know, this is what I was reading devotionally today, and not taking some Scripture out of context, but looking at it, what it means in context and how to divide the Word in my life. So what has God been telling you lately in your time with Him?
Well, Chris, lately I've been in the life of Moses in the book of Exodus and working on some sermons to do. It's one of those things where in all my years in the ministry, I've done a lot of lives of different people in the Bible, but some reason never got around to Moses. And wow, what a great storehouse of truth there is in his life. So just today, I've just been pondering over Moses and the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And in keeping with what you said, let me just read one verse. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. Sometimes it said the back side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So, you know, sometimes, Chris, you see these verses and maybe you think, well, this is just a placeholder. We're just sort of getting a little chronological marker here to get us to the real story of the burning bush, which we all know is one of the most fantastic stories in all the Bible. But you really can't skip this verse number one. And it's made me stop and do some thinking. I mean, Moses here, he's 80 years old, okay? when other guys are cashing in their 401ks, right, buying the RVs, and learning how to play pickleball and hang out with the grandkids. Here's Moses. He's 80. And what's he doing? He's out there in the backside of the desert. I mean, one of the most remote, desolate places in the world. And here's the thing. This gets to the point you asked me about that I think about that, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but I confess it myself. I like the idea of the burning bush. That's really cool. That's exciting. You're out there and all of a sudden the bush is not burning and what's going on? And the voice speaks to you. I just thought of it this way. It took Moses 40 years in the desert to get to this point. And I thought to myself, when Moses got up that morning, wherever he was in the desert with the sheep, he didn't have a clue. He didn't know what he didn't know. It was just one more day with the sheep out in the wilderness, right? And he's going to go out there and meet God and just do his job. All of a sudden, there's the bush that's not burning. And Moses still isn't thinking, oh, well, this is going to set up going to see Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and the exit. He doesn't know about all that stuff. He's just going over to look at a bush that's not being consumed. And I thought about this whole story, the greatest moment, the thing that's going to change his whole life, just starts with ordinary obedience on another ordinary day out there in the wilderness with the sheep. People have said to me, Pastor Ray, what's the key to knowing God's will for my life, or how can I figure it out? Well, that's a great question. Go a lot of different ways with that, but here's one of the best answers. The key to doing God's will tomorrow is to get up and do God's will today. And I remember with this, Chris, I'll close my answer. I remember what Elizabeth Elliot often said when she didn't know what else to do. She said, just get up and do the next thing, because there's always a next thing that needs to be done. And I think, well, for people like me who like the idea of the burning bush, this is a good word from God. Ordinary obedience, daily obedience, just getting up and doing whatever needs to be done. People say, can God speak to me? He found Moses out in the backside of the desert. He can get a hold of you and me anytime he wants. He can ring our phone any time of the day or night, and we won't put him on call waiting. So I just say, what is God saying to me? It's right here in Exodus chapter 3. Ray, just get up and do my will for today. And in doing my will today, you'll discover God's will for tomorrow. And at least for me, Chris, that's a truth I need to hear.
Well, and I look at that and looking at it with you and think, you know, Moses here could have thought, it's over for me. There's nothing really I can do anymore. This is, and there may be somebody listening today who says, yeah, life is behind me. There's nothing really ahead of me. But in that third verse, it says, Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? And it was his inquisitiveness. It was his question of, wonder what that is and what that's doing here, instead of turn and walk away, that led him to a deeper relationship with God than he ever had.
And at that point, Chris, he's not thinking, wow, this is going to be the key that's going to free my people from Egypt, right? He's right. Just doing his job, taking care of the sheep in the most impossible place in the world. And as you said, his curiosity leads him over to look at the burning bush. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. And I guess that means he didn't need to know it then. All he needed to do was be ready when God said, Moses, Moses. And he answers, here am I. And the whole story, the part of his life we remember best, is about to unfold. And it just happens on a day of ordinary obedience. Actually, I find that very encouraging. God can speak to you and me anytime he wants, any way he wants. All he's looking for is somebody who will say, Lord, here am I. I am ready, reporting for duty.
Yeah. And through the scriptures, you see that time and time and time again. Some of the most unlikely people being used by God. He wants to do great things through you. It's not that you have to do something great for God. He wants to do something changing your heart on the inside so that he can work in you first and then through you. That's a really good word Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us today on Suzy Larson Live. We're going to take a quick break here and come back. I really want you to hear from Ray about some of the things that have been rolling around his soul as far as spiritual warfare go. As we look at the world around us, have you thought, there's something going on here, and I don't know what it is, but there's more going on than I can tell. I want you to hear what Ray has to say straight ahead here on Suzy Larson Live. This is Suzy Larson Live. I'm Chris Fabry, sitting in for Suzy today as we talk with Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Do you look at all that's going on in the country? I just look at the whole furor in the last week or so about the abortion subject, that topic, that issue that's so front and center in our world, and with the Supreme Court ruling that was leaked, at least from some certain part of that ruling that is yet to come down. And I look at what is happening in the culture, and I see it as something that is a kind of a flashpoint of what is going on behind the scenes that we can't see. I got an email the other day from Ray Pritchard, and Ray is the author of a number of books, An Anchor for the Soul, Stealth Attack, The Healing Power of Forgiveness. We could go in the Shadow of the Cross. Why did this happen to me? If you go to the Keep Believing Ministries website, you can see more about him. But the email was talking about spiritual warfare. And I watched the little video, and then I downloaded the free PDF about spiritual warfare because I really wanted to know where Ray was going with this. So, Ray, you answer that question. Do you feel like there's more going on here that we can understand or know?
Number one, Chris, I think if you're a Christian at all, if you have any sense of what the Bible says, you understand that something, okay, put that in quotes, something is going on. Let me step back further. Even if you aren't a Christian, even if you don't read the Bible at all, the events of the last 2 years certainly have shaken our confidence in what is this world coming to. We've had things happen during this pandemic worldwide that have never happened before in history. And I think there are people, I think just there's a general sense of unease in the world as it is today. This pandemic has shaken us down to the core. We're at the end of it. We're not at the end of it. Nobody really seems to know. We have an ongoing war over in Ukraine and Russia. You've got Vladimir Putin, who's actually quoting from, you know, the book of Ezekiel, making reference to that Gog and Magog stuff. Things are happening. And then we've got the economic crisis. You've got saber rattling between China and Taiwan. I don't blame anybody for feeling a sense of unease. So we have to ask ourselves, not so much is something going on, because yes, Chris, something is going on. I guess what I'm saying is, if you and I had this same conversation 5 years ago, well, there's always stuff going on in the world, but I can't remember a time in my personal experience where so many people across so broad a spectrum look at the world around us and go, what is going on? And I think from where I sit looking at the world, I think God is using this pandemic, and I'm using not just in terms of the COVID, but everything that's happened in it and around it and coming out from it, to prepare the church for what is about to happen next. Now, I want to be clear about this. I have no inside information about the second coming of Christ. I don't know anything about the date of it other than what's revealed in the Bible. And yet, when you look at the landscape of the Bible that's described in the book of Daniel and say in the book of Revelation and in the book of Zechariah and then Second Thessalonians, you know, there's a pretty, in Matthew 24, there's a pretty detailed outline of what the world is going to look like in the days leading up to the coming of Christ. I don't think it takes any great Bible scholar to look at all that and go, well, this isn't an exact correspondence, but it is remarkably similar. So I think we are well justified in looking at the signs of the times and saying we may indeed be in these last days leading up to the return of Christ. So I ask myself the question, what should we expect? If indeed these are the last days, and I know broadly considered, the last days started with the return of Christ, the ascension of Christ back to heaven, and that continues until he finally comes back. So I know this whole age you can call the last days, but really, if we are indeed living in the last days, the last weeks, months, the last generations leading to the coming of Christ, what then should we expect? If we could write tomorrow's headlines today, what would they say? And maybe I should just borrow then a line from Charles Dickens and say, it will be the best of times, it will be the worst of times. And those indeed seem to be the times, Chris, that are upon us, both the best times for evangelism and church planting and the worst of times in terms of the moral decay that we see all around us. And I would say to all my Christian friends, buckle up, because it's going to be a wild ride now, these next few days, weeks, and months, and years, as the trends continue in the same direction, and I think exactly as predicted in the Bible.
And this was given to us, you know, I think a prophecy through the scriptures, Old and New Testament. This was given to us not to make us be afraid, but to make us be prepared and to have a settled heart for if you get into these times when the temperature seems to be rising with the frog in the kettle. You know, this is why I've placed you here. So there is a sense of peace that we can have in the middle of the storm without having to know all the answers to all the questions about economic and et cetera, the political stuff, nuclear things that are being talked about. We don't have to know all the answers to that, but we can live fully abundant lives right here in the middle of it.
Well, number one, if somebody says to me, okay, Pastor Ray, how does this Ukraine situation fit into the last days? Chris, I don't know the answer to that question, right? I don't know, because we're not even to the end of the war yet. So I don't know how it fits into the big picture. So leaving sort of, and if you ask the question, well, who's in the White House or who's on the Supreme Court, how does that fit into Bible prophecy? Certainly God knows. We don't have to answer questions like that. And I don't even know how profitable it is to get down to that micro level asking like that. Maybe we should fly above that and just say something like this. Jesus said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of war and kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation. And he throws in this little phrase in the King James, see that you be not afraid. Well, it is terrifying when you hear about war suddenly breaking out. I mean, it is terrifying. War is a terrifying thing. Jesus said, see that you be not afraid. And when Donald Gray Barnhouse at the beginning of World War II preached on that, just on the day when in Germany and England went to war against each other, declared war, he was preaching in Northern Ireland in Belfast, and he quoted that verse, and he said, those are either the words of a madman or those are the words of the Son of God. So when we see the movement of men and nations around us, and especially the moral collapse of these times, let us not give way to fear, because Jesus is not a madman. He is the Son of God. His words can be trusted. So I'll say it this way. Christians ought to be the calmest people on earth, because we know the Lord and he holds the future in his hands.
So there is that peace in the middle of the struggle and the trial, but it doesn't mean that you don't have, that you aren't human anymore, or you just stick your head in the sand. You can have the full range of emotion. You look at what Jesus went through. Jesus had a full range of emotions outside the tomb of Lazarus. He wept and cried bitterly over what was happening. So it's not like we have to become stone statues. We can be fully alive and invigorated through this.
Maybe we can say it this way. We're going to be afraid. There are times when the only human response to a crisis is fear. But there's a difference between being afraid and giving into fear, letting it take over and control your life. Times when we ought to be afraid, absolutely. Times when fear is the only proper emotion, but Christians ought not to give way to fear as a controlling factor in their life, because we have the words of Jesus. He knows what he is doing. I'm circling. You can't see me, Chris. I'm doing my finger in the air to show I'm circling back around here to think about something. Okay, and this is what I want to say, that a whole lot of life right now is chaos. And sometimes we say, I don't want the chaos. I want God's plan. What we don't understand is the chaos is part of God's plan. And out of the chaos, out of the movement of men and nations, God is working his plan to bring Jesus back to this earth and to set up his kingdom. And when I said earlier, everybody better buckle up, I think I said exactly what God wants me to say. We all better buckle up, because it's going to be a crazy ride and not very easy, I think, in the days to come. So we had all better put on the armor of God. We better stick tight together. We better march in close formation, and we better make sure we have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be washed away by the events that are coming, I think, right around the corner.
Yeah. And the other thing that we can avoid then, if we buckle up and get ready for this, to believe that God is sovereign, he has placed us where we are, is to not give in to a conspiracy theory mindset that sees everything that happens on the front page of the news or the back page or the score of the Cubs game or whoever you root for, that this attack or this thing that happened over here, well, this is this. In other words, we don't have to figure all of this out in order to fully go through it, right?
Well, first of all, Chris, well, I speak only for myself. I guarantee you, I'm not smart enough to figure all that stuff out, you know? I'm just not. Yeah. Only God knows. And part of living by faith is adjusting to the chaos and uncertainty and unpredictability of life. And we can only do that because we have a big God. We have a God who is bigger than our circumstances, a God who is bigger than the headlines, a God who's bigger than the latest shocking. I mean, ask yourself the question. I was surprised. I was shocked when that Supreme Court leak came out. I know one person who was. He's the God of the universe. The Lord knew all about that. And you say, where did it come from? I don't know. I don't know what all that means, but I do know that when Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he was what? Seated on his throne. That was in the year King Uzziah died, one of the great good kings of Judah. But it wasn't like God was up walking around wringing his hands going, oh, no, Uzziah's dead. What's going to happen down there? No, no. God in heaven is seated on his throne today and amidst the chaos of this world. And questions, Chris, you and I can't answer. We know this much is true. Our God does know what he's doing, and he's doing it.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us today on Susie Larson Live. More straight ahead.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war.
Dr. Ray Pritchard today. Chris Fabry here, sitting in for Susie Larson, and we're talking about living fully for such a time as this, right here, right now. If you go to keepbelieving.com, there is a new booklet that Dr. Pritchard has written. You can receive a hard copy or do like I did, download the PDF and read it right now. It's absolutely free. Just go to keepbelieving.com and you'll see more about spiritual warfare in the last days. Keepbelieving.com. And if you have a question or a comment, text us at 877-933-2484. You really believe, Ray, that one of the byproducts of what we're going into may be a revival of sorts, or an awakening, or a renewal. You talk about that in the introduction of the booklet. Tell me more about that.
Well, first of all, Chris, there is no question. I want to underline this. There is no question that the Bible teaches that the last days, two things are going to happen at the same time. There's going to be an outbreak of evil like we've never seen before. Check. Okay. We've got that. At the same time, there is going to be, if you want to call it, an outbreak of goodness, an outbreak of righteousness, a revival, a spiritual awakening like the world has never seen. And I know that sometimes those of us who talk a lot about the return of Christ, sometimes we talk about the signs of the times. And so we can be accused and have been of being excessively pessimistic about the world. And I understand there's a lot of evil in the world. And Jesus said evildoers will grow worse and worse. And Paul said in the last days, terrible times will come. But guess what? Think about that parable Jesus gave in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and tares. And friends, I want to encourage you, don't take my word for it. Go to the Bible, go to Matthew 13. You got the parable of the seed and the sower. That's one we all know. Then go to the next one, parable of the wheat and the tares. And let me just summarize it this way. Jesus, when he told the story, it's about the man who planted the seed, and while he was sleeping, enemy came in and sowed weed among the wheat, so to speak, and they started to come up, and the owner said, "Who did this?" And the worker said, "Well, your enemy did this." And then the weeds and the wheat are coming up together, and the worker said, "You want us to pull up the weeds?" And the boss man said, "No, they're all growing together. Just leave them until the harvest. And in the harvest, what's going to happen is the wheat will be gathered into the barn and the weeds will be gathered together and burned with fire." Now, in the story Jesus told, the field is the world, the Lord is the sower, the enemy is the devil, and the good seed represents believers, and the weeds are the unbelievers, and the harvest is the end of the age. So, Chris, let me just say this. Oftentimes we focus on the first part of that parable, but I think the end of it is where the action is. Jesus is teaching us in the parable of the wheat and the tares two things at least. Number one, in this age, believers and unbelievers live side by side, and it's kind of hard to tell without a scorecard from heaven who's on which team, and because we live side by side, same neighborhoods, we drive the same kind of cars, we go to the same schools often, cheer for the same football teams, and so on. But we're buried, and you go to a cemetery, and believers and unbelievers buried side by side, so you can't always tell which is which and what's what. But in the final days, when the final harvest comes in, what Jesus is really saying is that the last days are going to be marked by two parallel harvests coming in at the same time, a harvest of evil like we've never seen. And I said, check. Yeah, the devil's doing good on that regard. But at the same time, if the words of Jesus are to be taken literally, then we're going to see a harvest of righteousness in terms of people coming to faith in Christ like we have never seen. So if the question is, could there be another Welsh revival in our day? Yes. Could there be a third Great Awakening? Yes. Could we see multitudes, millions, hundreds of millions of Muslims coming to faith in Christ? Yes. Could we see a turning to God across China and India like we have not yet seen? And the answer is yes. So I just want to say, right? Tremendous good news, Chris, that in those last days, we're going to see tons of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We ought to get ready for that.
Well, and I think of what's gone on in Ukraine, too, and believers who were there, who were fleeing with their families, you know, moving away from the Irpin and Kyiv, trying to get to safety, and then saying, well, we're headed back because, you know, the ministry is here and the people need us. So going just like the people who are firefighters who run toward the fire, or police officers who run toward the danger in order to protect other people, we can be those kinds of people. And that's why I wanted to let people know about your booklet that you've written. Again, it can be a download or you can get a hard copy of this, but it's Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days. And toward the end, I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you on the action points of this, because there are things that we can know, and if we'll put the template of the world and what is going on with everything that is out there in the big bad world, if we'll look at some of these things that you're saying, I think it will calm our hearts and will allow us to live fully right here rather than fretting all the time and being anxious about everything new that comes out, and that up is down and down is up, and you don't know the genders or the sex of the people. You know, all those types of things are there. We have been placed here for a reason, for a purpose. What is it? How should I live? The first thing you say is be alert. Tell me about that.
Well, this just means what Jesus meant in Matthew 24, Chris. So interesting to me. They ask him, what's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What's the very first thing he says? Pay attention, guys, because false counterfeits, spiritual counterfeits will be abroad in the world. And you're going to hear people saying, Jesus is here, Christ is here, the Messiah is here. People are going to go around in my name spreading falsehoods. So the last days are going to be a time of great, enormous spiritual deception. And I would say in the bigger picture, Chris, leading up to the rise of the Antichrist and people taking the mark of the beast, that's not going to happen in a vacuum. There's going to be a worldwide spiritual delusion. And so as we are moving into what I believe to be the last days of human history, we need to be alert. What did Peter say? He said, be sober, be vigilant, wake up. There's somebody out there coming after you. The devil is coming after you, looking for someone to devour. I said it this way in the booklet, the devil is hungry and you are on the menu. So step number one is keep your eyes open. This is no time to take it easy. This is no time to play church. This is no time to go through the motions. Chris, if there's ever a time for Christians to get serious about their faith, get serious about sharing their faith, get serious about fellowship with other Christians, this is the time. This is no time for Lone Ranger Christianity. In the days to come, we're going to need each other more than ever before. So number one, keep your eyes open, friends. Be alert.
And that, when you say, you know, get serious about your faith, what you're saying is not go to church more often and, you know, listen to Christian radio 24 hours a day. You know, that's a wonderful thing to do. What you're saying is to be totally surrendered to God, submitted to Him. And there's only one way to do that is to be in His Word every day and to study and to learn and to know the steps that He's asking you to take, right?
Well, number one, you got to be in the Word. How about this, Chris? The Word's got to be in you. In the days to come, we're going to have to look at the world through Word-shaped spectacles, if you will. And that's never going to happen simply by giving 3 minutes to doing a quick once-over, then getting on with the affairs of the day. We're going to have to get serious about the Word of God. So as we see things happening, this is what's going to give us stability when the world seems to be shaking around us. And you mentioned some of the troubling cultural trends that we see all around us. This idea of being alert, I think biblically, is keep your eyes open. How do you keep your eyes open? Get your eyes on the Word of God. Let the Word of God become the foundation of your life. Then you won't be blown away, which isn't that one of the stories Jesus told? The wise man built his house upon what? The rock. The rock of the truth of God's word. And because it was built on the rock of the truth of God's word, when the storms came, they beat against the house, but it stood firm. Wow, if we ever needed that truth, Chris, it's one we need today.
I saw a meme the other day. It was a picture of that very thing. And today, in a house that was halfway in the ocean, and the caption was something like, I always thought this was just a parable. You know, I didn't know this was a real thing. Somebody had built on a sand and they were going through calamity. I don't want to laugh at, you know, what somebody's going through with their house in the water, but this is true. And that's why you say, be alert. First of all, be alert. The second step, then we've got five steps for you. The second step is to be bold. So that means take what you believe and know why you believe it and share it, right?
It does mean that. And let me give another twist on that. Be bold to pray big prayers to a God who has made big promises. We ought to pray big prayers for world evangelism in the last days. If we really believe, and I do, I profoundly believe there's going to be a worldwide harvest of souls coming in the last days. I read Revelation about that great multitude standing before the throne. These are they who came out of the great tribulation. Okay, leaving all other controversies aside, if that's going to happen, if God says it's going to happen, we ought to pray, God, begin that movement in our day. So being bold first, I think, is not about what you say. It's about how you talk to the Lord. Pray big prayers to an almighty God. Pray for God's Spirit to be turned loose through your church, through your ministry, through the people you see. And let's pray that there will be a mighty ingathering of believers, new believers, coming to Jesus Christ from every race and every tongue and every kindred, every nation across the earth. Let's take what the Bible says and pray it back to God. Remember what Luther said, Spurgeon said, God loves to be believed. And Luther said, we ought to fling God's promises back in his face. Well, we ought to say, Lord, if you're going to do it, please do it now.
Be alert, be bold. See, I'm a fiction writer, Ray, and I think in fictional terms. And I think one of the things that happens with a story is that you get so engrossed in it. You get so it's such a part of you that you begin to participate with it. And I heard that I used to work with Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye on the Left Behind series, the children's version. And there are people who would say, it was a crazy thing. I was reading this book and I started to pray for the characters, you know, and they're fictional characters. And what that was they cared so much that they began to participate in the story. And I think that very same thing is what God wants each of us to do, to not look at this as theologically look at prophecy and say, well, how does this, you know, it's a puzzle piece that I'm just trying to fit together, or think about it logically or on paper, but to think about what is my part here? How can I participate in this grand plan that God is unfolding, that he has privileged me to live for such a time as this? We take our final break here and come back. You're listening to Susie Larson Live. Chris Fabry sitting in for Susie today. And if you go to keepbelieving.com, you'll see what we're talking about, that the writing that Ray has done in this booklet. You can find out more about it at keepbelieving.com. More straight ahead.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
I see that amen there. Thank you for that text. And Jill, who says, nice to hear your voice in the daytime, Chris. Usually you're on at midnight. Well, that's right. Chris Fabry here, sitting in for Susie Larson. And I'll be back next week at the same time, I hope. And I hope you'll be here as well. You know why you listen to Susie. You get encouragement every day. You get pushed toward the truth that never changes, and you hear her heart coming through. I hope you hear that with Dr. Ray Pritchard today. If you go to keepbelieving.com, you'll see that new booklet that he's written, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days, just an encouragement to you. I'm going to go through the rest of these. We've got about 10 minutes left here, Ray. So be alert. Be bold, and then the third is put on the whole armor of God. Of course, we can go to Ephesians 6. We read that there, but what does that mean practically?
Well, it means, number one, we're in a battle, Chris. We are in a battle. The devil is making his bid for our churches and for our families, for our kids and for our marriages. This world has become a spiritual battleground. I don't see any change. I just think the battle is going to grow hotter in the days ahead. And all I know is this, that in these days, these prophetic days, every single one of us better. Well, how about this, Chris? What if we said, let's just start reading Ephesians 6, maybe memorize, starting with verse 6:10, going down to verse 17, about the stand therefore, having your waist girded about with the belt of truth, and then put on the breastplate of righteousness and get your feet down there, the shoes of gospel peace, which I think means get your feet solid in the truth of the gospel. And then he says, take up the shield of faith, because the devil's shooting these fiery arrows at you all the time. And then put on the helmet of salvation, which I would say is the assurance, that the personal knowledge that you know Jesus Christ, that you're truly saved. Then pick up the sword, the only offensive weapon in all of that armor, and through prayer and by prayer and with prayer, fully armed for conflict, go out and go into battle for the Lord. I heard one guy say it this way, just about the helmet of salvation. One of our problems is we don't think we're in a battle, so we don't pick up the armor. Well, what happens to a football player, he said, who goes out onto the field without his helmet on? He gets clobbered in the head. We've got too many Christians getting clobbered in the battle because they don't take seriously what God has said. So let's put on the armor of God, get serious about spiritual warfare.
I hope this is encouraging to you today, because these are such practical things you could do. Prayer is all through this. So be alert, be bold, put on the whole armor of God. Number four is maybe one of the more difficult ones, because it's not all about me. It's all about us, right?
Look, Chris, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it if we start fighting guerrilla warfare, not in the days in which we are living. This idea of marching in tight formation, that verse that we sometimes quote, let's find ways to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And then that's from Hebrews 10, of course, and don't neglect to meet together as some people do, but encourage each other more and more as you see. And in literally in Hebrews 10, it's as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of judgment, the day of the return of Christ. In other words, the writer of Hebrews, who clearly is thinking about the return of Christ, he's saying, as you see that day coming closer and closer, don't pull away from fellow believers. We need each other more and more and more. So I just want to say, this is no time to wander off on your own. This is a time to stay tight. Stay tight with your brothers and sisters. Stay tight with your local church. Stay tight with your Sunday school class, your small group, your Christian friends. What happens when Christians wander off? We become an easy target for the enemy. When we're together, Chris, when Christians march together in tight formation, we are a formidable force. When we try to go it alone, we're easy targets for Satan's attacks.
Yeah, and that may be one of the most discouraging things that I hear, and I have a lot of heart for people who will call a program like this or just relate to it, send a note and say, here's what I'm going through in my life and I need some help. And then you ask the question, are there other believers around you? Well, I haven't been able to find a church. And I get that. I've been there. But that isolation that you're talking about is so important to not stay there, to allow God to stretch you and move you toward other people. And I get it. And the church is hard. It's a hard place because there are people just as sinful as you are who are in there. If you find the perfect church, don't join it, because you're going to mess it up. But so the last one then is so critical. Live without fear. How do you live without fear in a world like we're going through today?
Okay, just go back, Chris, to what Jesus said. Wars, rumors of war. Check. Nation against nation. Check. Families in crisis. Check. And then we just throw in there spiritual counterfeits. Check. Then we got earthquakes. Check. Pestilences. Famines. Check, check, check. Economic catastrophe. Check, check, check. We're not even going to get into the book of Revelation, okay? Seals and trumpets and bowls. I mean, everything turned upside down as you come down the end of the pike. Ultimately, my answer to your question is, this is not about you and me. It's about our view of God. Do we believe that out of the chaos, God has a plan. Do we believe that? In the old days, I haven't sung this in a long time, but we used to sing, Chris, you remember, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. I'm kind of smiling as I'm saying it because it's a hopeful song. He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, either we believe that or we don't. And amidst the chaos of these days and the confusion and, frankly, the spiritual compromise and the spiritual decay that we see all around us, even among professing Christians, it's easy to throw up our hands in despair and say, oh no, God has somehow lost the plot, right? No, God has not lost the plot. All things are working out according to his plan. And even in the days of chaos, go back to the fundamental things we know to be true and say, Jesus, you are right. I see chaos around me, but I will not. I see things that frighten me, but I will not give in to fear, which is what Jesus meant when he said, see that you be not afraid, which I take it, Chris, means something like pay attention. Don't let yourself slide into ultimate despair. Go back to the rock called God. Build your life on the truth of the sovereignty of God. You will survive and you will even thrive if we live like that. Okay, one other thing, one other sentence, Chris, that I've done.
Yes.
Faith, remember, folks, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. Faith is a choice. Choose faith instead of fear and do it every single day.
Adrian Rogers said, it's not what the world is coming to that we ought to look at. It's who's coming to the world. And that's what you're saying. When you put your trust and your faith that God is seated on the throne and that this is not taking him by surprise and that all of this, even the bad things, you know, you meant it for evil, Joseph said, God meant it for good. I'm going to look at the world differently when I am grounded in that, and I'll be able to pray those bold, big prayers not because my faith is so big, but because God is so big. Right?
Hey, let's be encouraged, Chris. It's all happening just like the Bible said. Events are unfolding around us exactly the way Jesus said they would. So if tough times are coming, don't be surprised. These ought to be great days for evangelism. So we say to everybody, be ready. Be ready to pray big prayers. Be ready to take your stand. Be ready to open your mouth and share your faith. And if you face some opposition, that's okay, because Jesus said that's going to happen. Be bold anyway. Speak up for the Lord. Leave the results in his hands.
Spiritual warfare in the last days. I'm so glad that you wrote this brand new booklet, Ray. And if people go to the website, keepbelieving.com, they can download that. As I mentioned, they can also get a hard copy of it. Your hope for this in the last minute here, what is your hope?
My hope is that we will turn away from fear and from anger and from despair. If we give in to fear, anger, and despair, we have missed the point of the whole story. In the end, Jesus wins. I'm not saying we win, Chris. I'm saying Jesus wins in the end. And if we're joined with him by faith, then we're going to be okay. So friends, let's be bold. Let's live without fear. Let's trust in the Lord. It is all working out according to God's plan. We ought to be the calmest people on earth. We ought to be the most joyful people on earth, because Jesus is coming back, I think, soon, folks. Let's get ready.
Amen, amen. Even so, come, Lord
Jesus.
Come,
Lord Jesus.
Ray, thanks for your work. We've only kind of scratched the surface of even the booklet that we've been talking about here, but if that interests you, Spiritual Warfare in the Last Days, you can find it at keepbelieving.com, a new booklet that Ray has written. Have a great weekend, Ray. Come back and see us again, okay?
Let's do it. Thanks, Chris.
And Susie Larson, thank you for letting me sit in here. Chris Fabry being with you today. And I'll be back next Friday for a provocative conversation right here on Susie Larson.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.